helped us and strengthened us and given us his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to turn with me in the word of the Lord to our primary scripture of emphasis, the scriptures for this month of December, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, and Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Praise God. We're going to begin with Romans 12 and 9, and we're going to then read 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Have that, would you say amen, amen, amen. Well, let's stand together for the reading of the word, Romans 12 and verse 9. The word of the Lord says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. That's Romans 12 and 9. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, and the word of the Lord says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I want to just continue to talk to you on our emphasis for this month, hold fast to what is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, and we bless you and praise you for the privilege you've given to us to come together around the word of the Lord. Thank you, God, that you've given to us such a sense of optimism about how life is and how life will continue to be. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that as we enter the word of the Lord in faith, that we will receive what it is able to impart to us to the glory of God in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. And everybody said amen. And be seated in the presence of the Lord. The theme for this month is one that I believe that was really ordered of the Lord as we get to the end of another year. When I think about what this year holds for us and has held for us, I think about something that is so true about coming to the end of a cycle. So very often when we come in two things, we come into them sometimes with a fight. We come into them with tenacity. We come into them ready to go up against any and everything, only to get toward the end of a thing and become weary and begin to faint in our mind. I believe that the Lord wants to remind us that no matter what has happened or is happening in our lives that has a negative connotation, something there is good. No matter how many experiences you've had, something's good. I think about if I could just provide a little insert, this is not really the word of God, but it's my testimony. Got started this day, and it was an early day, and spending a good amount of time at our new location, working with the team, trying to get us continuing to move toward our objective. Got away, was going to try to leave early, make sure that I was had a little leisure time, not so much leisure, a little break time between the working and the beginning of service tonight. Just moments before leaving, two of the deliveries that we've been waiting on for the longest showed up. One showed up, didn't have all the tools necessary to put things inside our building in the place that we needed them, so that one basically had to drop it, push his stuff in a little bit away, but basically block the only working roll-up door. And after they were gone, he was gone, and then the next delivery showed up, and then the question was, okay, now how are we going to get this stuff inside when the entrance that we're supposed to be using is blocked? And I'm saying, you know, do the best you can to help us out because we've got 90 sheets of plywood that we can't move by ourselves, and we can't pick that up. That's a lot of weight there, and it's got to go where it's got to go, but we can't put it there right now, and we got metal that's got to go on the walls, the studs got to go up, and that's what the last group was bringing. So just help us out, and in spite of all of that, one of the young men was asking about what we were doing, and lo and behold, I talked to at least three people right before I walked out of that door that is out of church, and I got to see God, there's a reason for what we do. Glory to God. Finally got away from there and tried to rush downtown and pick up new copies of our plans so that we can, make sure that we're staying on course with the drawings that we have and get fresh things that we've been drawing and writing on over the old one. So just give us a first copy and so we can try to get into some of even the other parts that have been updated. And on my way, leaving late from the other thing, and then finally, it was supposed to be leaving at 2, and now it's past 4:30. I'm picking up plans and headed to get my hair cut and got to the hair, thought, okay, I got them a little early for my haircut appointment and stopped and got in the line, and fast food turned out to be slow food. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Fast food, okay. Fast food seemed like slow food restaurant, and got through the line and got to my appointment, about 2 minutes before I'm supposed to be in the chair, walked inside. I could have been in that line for another 15 minutes because the barber had someone else, and then after he finished with the one in the chair, called for someone else and just pushed my appointment on down the road. Hallelujah. And so I said, well, I have come to believe that things don't fall apart, they fall into place. Left the barber shop and got on the ramp. This is coming from Ellis Avenue, getting on that ramp heading 55 south. And as I was getting into that ramp, I thank God that I wasn't early. I thank God I wasn't earlier, because right in front of me, down little piece, people, I could see the lights, and I'm slowing down and people kind of getting off on the side of the road to get around what turned out to be an accident. Someone in the road, someone down that embankment near one of those big columns, and so I slowed down, and then I looked in my rearview mirror, and I see someone plowing into someone behind me, and sped up just a little bit, saying, "Lord, don't let them spin out of control and hit me," and was able to get through that. I thank God for protection. And you see, sometimes when we When we think, and I thank God for no further interruptions in my schedule, in my day, and you know, that could have been, either one of those could have been mean, and I could have been at the emergency room tonight, maybe with a back brace on, or with something on my neck, or anything like that. You see, sometimes while we are complaining about a little this and a little that, we've got so much to thank God that, Lord, I thank you just for protection. That's something good that I have today. Glory to God. Even if I don't have the money that I need, don't have the relationship that I need, don't have the family that I need, don't have the job that I need, glory to God. With all the things we don't have, there's always something to look on the bright side and find something to shout about. Find something to say, Lord, I thank you for. And it reminds me that out of all of the things that may not be going to my pleasure, I can say, Lord, I thank you. And I can hold fast to what's good. Because what's good? There's a lot that's good in your life. I want you to just open your mouth and declare that and say, there's a lot going well in my life. Amen. You know, the old saints used to say, I thank God for a reasonable portion of health and strength. You know, and the reason why they said that, you know, because they understand that no matter how sick you are, look a little further. Somebody is sicker. Hello, somebody. Amen. No matter, you know, you may say, well, my head hurts. Well, look a little further. And you'll find out someone, not only do their head hurt, their whole body hurts. Their whole body aches. And there's always something that can be going on in our lives that is not to our satisfaction. But in spite of that, I hear the Lord saying, look for the good. And hold fast to what's good. Hold on to what's good. Hold on to what's important. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, the beginning of that verse, and we just spent so much time looking at this last Sunday, and I believe it is worth us delving into again. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Well, let's pause a moment and make sure that we're all on the same page of what this means. If you will, flip that to the Amplified Bible first. He says, let your love be what? Sincere. Let your love be what? A real thing. Let your love be sincere. And let your love be a real thing. If you got the Message version, let's put that one up. Now, sometimes it kind of gets you some real serious good English there. It says, love from the what? The center of who you are. Don't what? Don't fake it. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't fake love. I need to say that again. Don't fake love. Don't fake it. I could say so many other things. But there's something that's one of those things that all of us should hold on to. Don't fake love for God. Don't fake love for your family. Don't fake love in your marriage. Don't fake love under any circumstance. You know one of the main reasons why you shouldn't fake love? Because love is core. Look there in that the book of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I want us to look at the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The word says, that's verse 13, it says, let's flip back to the go back to the King James Version. Now abideth faith, hope, and what? Charity. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. New International Version. Let's see what it says. Now there are these three that what? Remain. That remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Now, personally, I really prefer the rendering in the King James. It doesn't use love. The King James Version uses charity. Say, well, why do you prefer that? Because love today is so much feeling. But if you put it on the side of charity, then it's not about feeling. When you put love and affection on the side, on the scale of charity, it is all about what I release from myself that blesses your life. It's about giving. It's not about feeling. It's about what?
Giving.
If you make love, which is supposed to be about giving genuinely of yourself, giving the greatest thing that is in you. If the greatest is love, the greatest you have to have and have to offer anybody is love. And it is not just feeling love. In fact, there's a scripture that comes to my mind that says, love not in words. Oh my God, isn't it true that that's how we put love on words way up there? And the word of God says, don't even love in word. Hello. Don't even love in word. But love in deed and love in truth. Love in deed and love in truth. To love in truth is to put love out without dissimulation. Think about disappointment. Think about bitterness. What gives rise to those kind of things in a person's life is love that has a foundation of dishonesty. Hello, somebody. So this word dissimulation means let love be without, I'm back in Romans 12 and 9, pretense. Let love be without deceit. Let love be without dishonesty. I'm just giving you synonyms of dissimulation. Let love be without lying. Let love be without guile. Let love be without feigning. F-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. Let love be without subterfuge. Let love be without shaming. You know what the shaming is all about? It's about someone leading you to believe that they love you and that love is genuine, only to find out that you were just, you know, we don't say shaming now. We just said making a fool out of me. just made a plum fool out of me. I get, okay, now how stupid do I look? The word says, don't let your love. Now, you might get that kind of love, but don't ever give that kind of love. Don't ever be that kind of person of love, and no matter what kind of relationship of love it is. Because there are really three types of relationships of love. There is the agape love, that is the God kind of love. There's the phileo love, which is the brotherly love. And then there's the eros kind of love, which has to do with romance. Amen. He says, don't let whatever the love is, since it's the greatest of the three that God has left in the world, when everything else is gone, now abides faith, now abides hope, now abides charity, and the greatest of the things that remain is charity. He says, don't let your love, don't let your ability to bless someone's life be in any way faking. Here's another word. Let love be without posturing. Posturing. They weren't even being real. They were just trying to look like it was real for some advantage. Posturing. Don't show love with an ulterior motive. Here's another word. Let love be without hypocrisy. Dissimulation. Hypocrisy. If you want to make sure that someone who you care about, that their world doesn't come crushing and crashing down on them, let the love that you have be real. Amen, church. Amen. Now, I'm talking about love for someone or some person, but you know, the greatest one is the Lord. So let your love for God, let it be without pretense, without deceit, without dishonesty, without duplicity, without lying, without guile, without subterfuge, I keep mispronouncing that word, without feigning, without shaming, without faking, without posturing, without hypocrisy. He says, let it be that kind of love. Abhor that which is evil. And the main thing that he's speaking of here is not just sin. He's talking about the catastrophic result of deceitful love. Amen. Love is an interesting thing. And even if your words are misunderstood, sometimes you may even have to go back and correct words so that love is never deceitful and never received as something that you don't intend for it to mean. Young man the other day, I can't remember exactly what it was, but someone sent him a message saying Y-O-U-R, which is, what's that word? Your, just, maybe, amazing. He sent a reply, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Amazing. He was correcting her bad English, but she thought he was in love with her. Well, once he found out that she misunderstood his motive, let love be without dissimulation. Fix it. Amen, somebody. Correct that. Said, no, that's not what I meant. I was just helping you with the English. But if you really want your love to be genuine, and you're telling a person, say, well, now, you know, if that was the case, I'll be open up and upfront about that. I'm not trying to play with your feelings. I'm not trying to, in any kind of way, mislead you. Because if you find out that I really wasn't meaning that, then you think I just lied. A little heavy tonight, I guess. But he said, don't let it be with dissimulation. Let it be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. And do what? Cleave to what's good. Hold on to what is what? Good. Let me give you this. In James chapter 1, verse 17. Cleave to what's good. Hold on to what's good. What's really good in your life? It's one of the things that you can put note. This is always good. Every good gift and what? Every perfect gift is from above. And what? Comes down from the Father of lights, in whom or with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't ever change, and God never looks like he changes. If there's a shadow proof is a look like a movement. And God says, if you want to know about me, I'm the Father of lights. There's no change in me, and I don't ever look like I've changed. But look at the beginning of this. He is reminding us where good things come from. Every good gift and every perfect gift, every flawless gift comes from above. When he says, hold fast to what's good, he's reminding us, everything you receive from God, hold on to it. Now, you may have to do some working on how you actually deal with it and how you manage it, but hold on to it. Hold fast to it. Cleave to it. Well, let me just give you a good working definition of what it is to hold on, to hold fast. It literally means to remain tightly secure. It can be said that when he says hold fast to what good, he could be saying lock it in. Do what?
Lock it in.
Sometimes you can believe that you are attractive, beautiful, only to have someone, handsome, only to have someone humiliate you. You ugly. Don't nobody want you. If you have beauty, it comes from God. Talk to me, somebody. If there is anything about you that is attractive, it's a gift from God. Then don't let anybody make you unlock it. Lock it. Amen. Are you worth loving? Lock it. The answer is what? Yes. Lock it. Are you marvelously made by God? The answer is yes. Lock it. Every believer should hold on to the good that God has deposited in his or her life. Why? Because there's going to always be currents. There's going to always be noise. There's going to always be people. There's going to always be things. There's going to be things from the outside and things from the inside trying to help you, encourage you, make you, inspire you to unlock what you were once secured in. You crazy. Something wrong with your mind. Lock it. Amen, somebody. You're too stupid. You can't ever learn. You ain't gonna ever be nothing. You don't have to unlock that door. Lock it. I am what I am by the grace of God. And with the help of the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lock it. And keep that door locked. Why? Because if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it doesn't come from man. It's a gift from God. And every child of God ought to praise God, thank God, believe God, rejoice, saying, yes, Lord, I thank you that you have put so much in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's intelligence in me. There are smarts in me. I have something to offer. Glory to God. You know, sometimes even when you are dealing with trying to find employment, sometimes the enemy will put in your mind, well, don't nobody want to hire you. Don't nobody want you. You don't have anything to offer. You don't have any skills. Glory to God. You may just need to look down within and say, Lord, what have you deposited in me that is worth offering? Because sometimes you need the gift of God to flow out of you that more than your academic or your technical training. Because sometimes the open doors are not just to what you got on your resume. Let me just tell you something. There is power in your presence. Now open your mouth and just say that with me. There's power in my presence. Now, when I say power, I'm not really talking about, you know, some kind of work of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about, you know, some kind of, you know, supernatural thing. I'm just talking about the value of you. There is power in your presence. There's power in your presence. Your smile, your genuineness, your courtesy. There's power in your presence. Look at somebody near you and tell them, work your stuff, work your stuff, work your stuff, work your stuff. There's power in your presence. If you have a pleasing personality, you ought to thank God for it. If there's power in your presence. You just being there can make a difference. And then when you combine just your presence with the presence of God, oh my goodness, you've got something there. Amen. I need to be working here. Y'all need me working here. I don't have to brag about it, but y'all need me working here because there's power in my presence. Good things happen when I'm around. Because I'm good for the situation anyway. Competence. All of those things are valuable to every one of us as children of God. Hallelujah. And so when he says hold fast, he says remain, make sure that these things that God, the good that God has put in your life, that they remain tightly secure. What are you saying? Don't let the road knock your stuff off. Don't let the terrain of life dislodge the good that's in you. There's much in you that is make you absolutely worth it, the best. And I will go even further. Sometimes, because we are a little careless about how we present our greatness, we just do stuff that we really don't have to do, that don't make us look the best, that don't give the power of our presence. Huh? Now, it's one thing sometimes late, but always late. I wish there was somebody that would just give me a little tinacha, amen. Always late. Huh? You know what always late is? Always late sometime is never dependable. And when you know being dependable is in you, don't present not dependable. Do I need to step down a little to get y'all so y'all got that? If dependable is in you, don't present now. Can I at least depend on y'all to say what I'm trying to get you all to get? So if you are dependable, don't present not being dependable. Amen. If you are trustworthy, don't present. Don't present that. Because there's power in your presence. Oh my. Amen. God has put so much good in us, and there is so much good that we have to offer. But we have got to believe that we have something to offer. Amen. One last scripture. Philemon 1:20. I believe that's what it is. Philemon. Some people call it Philemon. However you need to pronounce it. Glory to God. Philemon. Y'all getting there? You see it? Phile, verse 20, I think that's what. Glory to God. 120, no, that's not the verse that I want. Praise God. Let me get it for you real quickly. Verse 6 is what I'm trying to get us to. Verse 6, Philemon 6. What does he say? That the communication of your, let's read it together, come on. That the communication of your, by faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Just because you're in Christ, there's good in you. But a part of holding fast to it is you have to acknowledge it. You don't have to brag about it, but you do need to acknowledge it. You don't have to be arrogant about it, but you do need to acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. It may not be perfected, but at least acknowledge it. It may not be all you want it to be, but at least do what? Acknowledge it. Every good thing that's in you, because you're in Christ, acknowledge it. And hold fast to that. Humiliation is one of those things that really can cause us to throw away our confidence. Someone laughing at you. Someone making fun of you. someone not handling what you offer well. I'll say this and then I'll finish. We'll pray. I grew up playing organ and piano, and there were people who were around me who would say to me, "Junior, don't you try to sing. You just play, because you really can't sing." I heard that growing up, because you really can't sing. But one of the things that I could do, I could hear voices and teach parts. It's kind of odd to me how you can teach parts and not sing at all. I may not be the best singer, but I could sing. And then to have something happen in my life, even this weekend, when I left here Sunday, I really was not, I was through with ministering for the day. So I thought. went to just visit a friend who was having an anniversary. It was celebrating the years of ministry with Pastor Glenn Allen. And went down there and had an opportunity. I thought I would just be given the opportunity to just have words. But when I walked in and I sat at the back of the church, two ladies came up to me and said, "Oh, we already asked them to put you on to sing You Can Make It." Wow. And I said, I'm good. And then when I, they kept trying to get me to come up and go front. I said, "I'm fine, just where I am." And then when the offering time came, I headed toward the stage because I knew right after the offering that someone was going to present all the guest ministers to just have remarks, encouragement for the pastor. And I walked up toward the stage, and there was someone standing at the podium who said, before I got to that person, I saw the pastor's mother sitting over in the corner, and she said, "My son, Gerald, who's playing the organ, oh yeah, he's already said that he gonna have you singing You Can Make It." And I said, I'm fine. I don't have to sing anything. And then I walked toward the stage, and the person who was the MC said, "They told me to ask you to sing You Can Make It." And I said, "You don't have to do everything people ask you to do." I'm not exaggerating. That's my word. "You don't have to do everything people ask you to do." And so he just kind of laughed, and I went on and sat down, and I just assumed, you know, that I got him straight, and everything was fine. And then, lo and behold, as soon as the offering was over, he read his little introduction of me to sing You Can Make It. Now, for somebody who grew up being told, "You can't sing, you just play the organ because you really can't sing," all these people are wanting me to sing You Can Make It. And so after he fronted me like that, I got up and I sung You Can Make It. You can make it, you can make it. The trial you're going through, God's going to show you what to do. You can make it, you can make it. I don't care what's going wrong. You are not in this thing alone, and God won't let it last too long. You can make it. And I sung that song, and then I was saying to the people, because I was stunned. I actually got a little like, this is strange, because I stood up, and when I started singing, I looked over the audience, and looked like there's maybe 20, 25 people standing up like this. with these phones up, you know, recording, you know. And then I'm singing, and I sung
encouraging the pastor, and then sung encouraging the people of God, saying, you can make it. You can make it. What is this all about? It's about holding on to something in your life that has value, that God has done in your life. And pastor called me later on. He says, he said, that's supposed to be my appreciation. Look like you just kind of stole the show. I said, now wait a minute now. You know, you're going to have to put that on your brother, on them ladies in the back, and on that deacon. And then he turned around and said, well, actually, I had already told Elder Preston that when you get here and you get up, I want you to sing, you can make it. And I thought, oh, so it's your fault. You can't put that on me. And the thing about it that, and I said, you know, I don't even understand. Number one, I almost never, y'all really probably never heard me sing that song. But I started singing it on the road when I would go places to preach. I don't know why I started singing the song. But God has used it to bless and encourage somebody. You know what that's all about? It's acknowledging what's good in you, in Christ. That's what it's all about. Am I a great singer? Well, God knows whether I am or not. Am I someone who's willing to offer what I can give? The answer to that is yes. Because if I can bless somebody and encourage somebody, and pastor told me, he said, I got so many calls of people saying, I needed that song that Sunday, that day, that time. I needed it. I needed it. I needed it. And I want to encourage you, as you walk through life, don't let go of something valuable and good that God is depositing in you. You don't have to shove your way, but God will sometimes just push you right into the place where you can be his instrument. Amen? Well, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to receive the announcements and be given an opportunity to give. Glory to God. And one of the associate pastors is going to take care of that. God bless you. Amen. Glory to
God. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a word. Yes. Excuse me. I said, what a word. Hallelujah. I'm leaving a different way because of the word. Hallelujah. I'm leaving. I believe you are too. The scripture is down, but acknowledge God.